everybody, and welcome to the Frontside Podcast. This is episode 95, believe it or not. My name is Arash Zafarnia. I am the CEO and captain of the ship called the Frontside, and I will be your podcast host today, where the topic is connected coffee. So we'll get into what that is exactly and what it means. And with me today is the talented Joe, aka Cup of Joe Lasala, who is one of our developers here at the Frontside. How are you today, Joe?
I'm doing well. Very excited to talk about coffee. Thanks for having me on today.
Do you have a cup of coffee at the ready for today's podcast?
I do indeed. It was made with one of those mocha drip machines, I guess. Not a bad cup.
Very nice. I did a AeroPress over here at the office. And
Always a good option.
Always a good option. Definitely a little bit time consuming. You know, there's part of me that always just kind of wants to pop in a K-cup and chug some coffee. But definitely learning to appreciate the process behind, using an AeroPress and the benefits on the taste and the experience. So let's just jump right in here. And, you know, I'll promise to keep my slurping down to a minimum. So so I will be sure to mute at those moments when I take a big sip. So why don't we jump right in, guys? We have the gentleman from Brigo, an Austin area company that is spreading the goodness of connected coffee far and wide. So, gentlemen, if you'd like, why don't you go ahead and introduce yourselves and give us a little bit of a background on Brigo.
Well, I'll introduce myself. I'm Chaz Studer. I'm the CTO, founder CTO of Brigo Coffee. And with me is Kevin.
Right. My name is Kevin Nader. I'm the CEO and co-founder. Chaz and I have been buddies for years, and Chaz came to me with this idea in 2009. I fell in love with it, and it's been a passion of ours ever since. Coffee and connecting people with their perfect cups of coffee, which means connecting them through technology, but also really leveraging that human interaction that's so beautiful around coffee, and also connecting back to origin, which is where all of this starts. So I'm delighted that you're both coffee drinkers. That's a good start, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I am well caffeinated at the moment. Let's talk a little bit about that. What was that sort of aha moment where, you know, maybe you had a cup of coffee in one hand, your cell phone in the other, and you were thinking, maybe there's an idea here. How did it come to be?
It came out of actually some of my philanthropic work down in Honduras. I was going back and forth from there to here and trying to decide what I wanted to do with the next phase of my life. I was really impressed with how carefully the folks that were preparing the coffee for me down in Honduras, the way they looked at how they prepared it and how carefully they worked through that process. And I'd come back here and I'd see maybe we weren't always being as careful. There were a lot of things going on. Redbox was disrupting Blockbuster. The iPhone was just coming out. You know, this is a large market. And I was kind of put together that, boy, if we could somehow be much more precise about the way we deliver specialty coffee and then tie that to the way people order things through the phone, we could really maybe be disruptive in a pretty large market. And so, you know, tying a lot of moving parts together, plus my kind of interest in proving that we could be more efficient about the way we consume here in the U.S. and then allow us to go back and do more back at origin because of that improvement in the way we deliver the end product. So there was a lot of, you know, it's kind of, you circle around ideas and they finally kind of come together. And now it's taken us a number of years to get to this point where we really have implemented the vision of that. And so it's pretty exciting where we are right now.
Yeah, if I could just add again, Kevin, that when Chaz came and told me this idea, I sort of was thinking, wow, this, I mean, obviously it is a large global market, but there aren't that many products that us humans want to basically have the same way every day. I mean, other than maybe a cup of water, we all love variation. But when it comes to my coffee, I want it in typically the same way every time. And what Chaz is saying is we saw variation in the market just because when humans get super busy, particularly at peak coffee times, process tends to drift. And so the idea that we could really enhance the customer experience, that's what really got my attention with this idea. We could improve and make really exciting the customer experience and give the customer control of the way they create their drink and then the confidence of the way that's going to be delivered with our platform that got me very excited about this.
Very interesting. And so how would you describe the Brigo experience today? What's it like to interact with the brand, and, you know, how does the user come across? How do they gain awareness of Brigo, and then all the way through to the, you know, them having a refreshing cup of coffee in their hand?
It's a great question. And again, we're essentially just getting rolling on this in Austin. We've been operating consistently in market for several years, but in a few locations. So not a whole lot of broad awareness at this point. But I'll tell you, the way to experience it is through the app. So in market, we see that over 70% of the orders that come into the business come through the app. So people are really getting a good experience and appreciating being able to see the wait times remotely, customize their drink all remote from standing in line, just where they are. Because at the end of the day, we just want to be their companion in their lifestyle. So imagine pulling in the parking lot at work, opening up the app. You've already customized your favorite. You just hit order. We tell you it's going to take 5-6 minutes, whatever it is at that time. You close the car. You're heading into work. You get that friendly text that says your drink's ready. Your drink is protected inside the coffee house on a carousel. You walk up to the coffee house. You already have your 3-digit code that you put in your app that's yours. You come up to the pickup screen. Regardless of where you are on the screen, you can pick up your drink. Then the robot goes to the carousel, picks your drink off, and presents it through a, you know, really nice unveiling of your coffee moment. So no one got your name wrong, and no one touched your drink, and it was ready just in time. And not only that, but it's all whole bean coffee, ground fresh to order, all fresh dairy, gourmet syrups and sweeteners. But we just gave you the control of your day.
When I looked into the mechanics of the coffee house itself, I was extremely impressed. There is a lot of mechanical engineering that went into that, and a lot of precision, it seems.
Yeah, there is. It's the tail end of the entire process of getting this cup of coffee. When you really go all the way back to origin and you look at the process that those beans have gone through, it's a very precise process that has to be followed. And anywhere along the way, if you drop it, that cup of coffee is no good. And so when you look at the Brigo Coffee House and the complexity of it, it's really complex in order to take care of those beans that have gone through so much work to get to the point where they're roasted and ready for us to work with. And then, you know, that robotics and the mechanical design is really around enforcing a precise process for using those beans and that fresh milk and doing that process over and over again the same way and validating it.
Yeah, I think you guys would really love it because it's almost 100 specialty coffee drinks an hour. All, like I said, very fresh. If the robot doesn't hit metrics by drink on weights, shot times, and temperatures, it discards it internally and remakes it. So from a customer point of view, you're going to have a high degree of confidence that this is a high-quality drink made with precision and one that you designed.
So there's actually quality control built into the process.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
That's incredible.
Yeah. Well, and it's not just quality control of the drink. We actually are constantly monitoring all the systems within the machine and not actually starting the drink until all systems are go, if you would. And so we're constantly looking at pressures and temperatures and flow rates and things like that to make sure that, okay, it's good to go make this drink as requested. So you can almost think about this almost like a food factory, if you would. I don't really want to say that, but it is around a precise process that the public controls. So here you've got an infinite number of order platforms. Nobody's getting in the way of each other in terms of ordering. And then that all comes into the coffee house, and that coffee house then sorts that all out and is constantly looking at all the different parameters around your cup and making sure that that's done right. And so that has taken several years to evolve. It started with, I was able to actually hire a champion barista, and we sat down and said, okay, now what do you worry about and what don't you worry about? What's the most critical steps in this process of making a very high-end cup of coffee? And how do we make a machine that does that? And how do we get it to pay attention to each of the steps that you would? And it was a very interesting process because, you know, at first I thought, how am I going to get someone that's in this business to show me how to do it?
And oh, yeah.
His point of view was, listen, if you really get this and do this right, you'll actually open up more opportunities for high quality baristas because people will expect higher quality coffee. in a much broader environment. So his point of view, which is Patrick Pierce, he ran the Cafe Medici's here, his point of view was really pretty forward-looking in that, you know, you think about all the different ways that we've learned to appreciate much higher quality expectations in terms of everything we consume. If you look at Whole Foods, once you've had a really good experience, it's hard to go back. And so we think we'll float the boat for all quality baristas in this by just opening up opportunities for people to have higher quality coffee.
Well, yeah, and access. I mean, this is 40 square feet at 100 drinks an hour. It'll do 20 in 12 minutes. So think about the peak times of day where you don't want to have a wait. So this is essentially coffee without the wait. You're ordering it remotely. You get the text. You walk up and you get it and you go. You can order in a group, make it a social thing. But also think about 2 a.m, you need a cup of coffee, and people can't afford to staff a super high quality experience. Yet there's our coffee house ready to serve you.
So you think hospitals or ports early in the morning, opening up that opportunity for people to have that treat, if you would, on a regular basis is really a piece of it. I mean, it started again with the idea that if we could do this, we could open opportunities for people all the way through the supply chain. So opportunities for people to drink better coffee consistently, but then people within Brigo are, you know, the number of employees we have here that are doing really creative, good work has been, you know, a number of great opportunities. And in the end, connecting back to origin, creating opportunities for people to really be connected to the end customers. If you think about the platform that we've created, all the software is through the entire stack is internal to our company. So in the future, we may be able to connect the end customer to the farmer in the origin. Right. And say, hey, this is the cup. Here's the farmer that actually, contributed to these beans and get connected all the way through there and creating opportunities for have that. So it's kind of cool using the technologies that are now available to us to create a new experience around coffee that just augments what we already have.
Yeah. And to be clear, this is our coffee. I want to be so we're a specialty coffee company. We're not really a robot or platform company. It's just that we're doing it in a new and different way that, like we said, essentially gives control back to the customer to allow them to customize and have high degree of certainty around the experience. People come fascinated with the experience, but they come back for the quality.
Yeah. So, you've mentioned origin several times. I know on your website it says it's a Latin American blend, which I'm guessing is specific to your company. Where do you source your beans? Is it like a direct trade type of thing? I mean, I'm not asking for a specific location, I guess.
As we build the business, we are building the supply relationships. In some cases, we've got direct relationships. In other cases, we are tracing back the exporter and the importer here, and we've met with them and have conversations with them. We have a high sense of social and corporate responsibility in the business and want to make sure that Origin continues to evolve to create beautiful coffees for the world. So right now we have Colombia, Costa Rica, Guatemala, and Nicaragua in our blend. And it's a really beautiful combination that was crafted by our coffee guru. If you look on our website, Scott McMartin, he's in Seattle. He did all of Starbucks green coffee buying while he was with Starbucks for almost 20 years and actually did a lot of product creation for them. So he's helping us source. He helps the roaster here in Austin, it's locally roasted, hit a roast profile that we want that really, is an example of our coffee expression.
That actual blend is actually tied to the way we do our espressos. And so it's been an iterative process of tailoring exactly how we pull our espressos to the coffee. So it's, there's a process and then there's the gazintas to that process. And we're really calibrating the two together. And having Scott is fantastic because he has all these relationships all the way through the supply chain and gives me comfort that we are connected. As you think of it as we want to be aspirational to be direct trade, where we really understand all the way through this supply chain. We're small now, and we've done much more than the size of our company would predict. So that's where we are on that. But it's really, we're an end-to-end coffee company that has invested more in technology than any other coffee company really in the world. I can say that pretty confidently.
What's kind of cool is we've last February we were 10 people, now we're 35 people and growing, And we're doing all of this here in Austin, including full-blown manufacturing here in Austin. Yeah. So we're creating jobs and bringing this platform to the world as quickly as we can.
So that sounds like some pretty impressive growth. I noticed you had a few different target markets. Who have you found to be the most receptive to the idea of Brigo and most eager to drop a kiosk on site on one of their properties?
Well, to tell you the truth, we haven't found many people at all that don't want one. So our challenge right now is to build this company to be able to fulfill basically the millennial lifestyle that starts mobile and wants to have an experience and consistency and quality. So, you know, the burden's on us to execute this thing. We raised money last February, and we've been building the business since. And we're about to have a big debut at South By here in Austin. We're going to be running two coffee houses at South By, and hopefully following South By, sending those coffee houses to really spectacular locations here in Austin. So our growth plan basically is continuing to focus on serving the corporate, the university, hospital, and airport environment. But 2 weeks ago, we opened on the main street at the University of Texas in partnership with an ice cream shop. Oh. And we now have a street cafe that is getting a lot of attention as well. So we're trying several different formats in terms of being where people are and where they're going and where they want to have access to coffee. It seems pretty endless.
Yeah.
Are you billing this as a kind of like a plug and play coffee house? And what I'm getting at with that is assuming a site location is ready for a Brigo kiosk to be installed, what is the ramp up time from, you know, shovel going into the ground to everything kind of being hooked up? And
beautiful. No shovels, no dirt.
Yeah.
Basically, we'll roll into a lobby or we'll roll into a cafeteria, or in the case of the ice cream shop, we just came right into the front end of their ice cream shop. It's basically a small utility readiness project where we just have to have power and water and waste, because we basically, most of the water goes into the cup, but there's a lot of rinsing and auto sanitizing going on, which uses water, and all that goes right out into the plumbing of the facility. So it's pretty easy. We roll off a truck, we plug it all in, fire it up, run some tests, and we're serving coffee.
That's great. And operationally, for kind of like supply levels, do you have software running in the background to notify you when you might be low on soy milk, for example?
Of course. Yeah. So we all the data about the machine, you know, its operating conditions include all the consumables, but then, and we have alerts on that. But so everything is tied back to the cloud. And so we have full visibility to that. But when we install, we actually do the servicing, we restock it, we do the preventive maintenance cycles, but we also monitor the machine through the day and can do kind of predictive and analytics on how the machine is and whether it needs certain servicing down the road.
We've been called the IoT of coffee by, you know, a lot of people that are following that space. The fact that we're fully sensored and can really help the customer through their experience and be highly plugged into the customer, that whole connected experience, but also on the back end from an operational point of view, having full visibility into not only the consumables, but the progress and the processes on the machine.
And so having all of that data collected, I mean, essentially, will the kiosks be able to learn over time common usage patterns and be prepared for them? Like, for instance, like in autumn, right? What if there's a run on pumpkin spice flavoring or something like that? With all this data and analytics that you're doing, I mean, it sounds like some very impressive infrastructure under the hood. Is there kind of a learning process there where you can feed that back into the way the machines function?
Yeah, you really are getting it well. You understand what we're doing, a good insight. The idea is connected means multiple things, you know, connected to the customer. And we've also been called the Nordstroms of coffee because we know before the customer does that if something did go wrong, you know, we're connected from the Brigo coffee house right up to the app to the customer. So if we can't make your drink, the software automatically reaches out to the customer and says, hey, we're so sorry. We've refunded your money. Here's a free drink. It depends on what's going on. But then we also have staff that are watching all of that and making sure that we have that connection to the customer. And likewise, like you're saying, the stocking of the machine, the seasonal variabilities, the differences between what a machine demands in one location versus another is key. We do ice drinks as well as hot drinks. And so seasonal changes are important to watch. And we have three different size cups. So our 20-ounce cups in the summer might be more than that in the winter. And so we have to be able to adapt to those shifts.
That's really impressive.
I think the only way to do all of that is to have it, we learned, is to have the engineering in-house and to have connected within the company, everyone understanding the big picture goal of what we're trying to do as a company, and then how each of these different engineering skills, whether it's mechanical, electrical, you know, we've got our own circuit boards, we have embedded software, we have each layer of the stack, and then through the manufacturing and the go-to-market teams, everyone's kind of connected in one building. And it's really hard to imagine doing this when, if, as we did in the early phase of the company, we had to have some outsourcing work done because we didn't have the capital to do that. And that was very difficult. But now, over the last few years, we've been able to consolidate that all in. And that's how you can make this whole system, you know, this connected system end-to-end work.
Yeah, certainly. If everybody's on the same page about, you know, quality, and which it seems to be, you know, you're a very coffee-forward coffee machine company.
Yeah, we are a coffee company, and in order to deliver real high-quality coffee, you've got to have the technology behind it. You got to know how that works.
That's right. We invented the platform, but we're also the retailer. So you're absolutely right. It's that end-to-end, really understanding how that's going to impact the customer. And culturally, it's great. We did a huge exercise, and everybody wrote the words down that reflected the company. And almost everybody universally wrote customer first.
Excellent.
That was a good moment, right?
Yeah.
As a customer-centric company, and you know, it very much being in the DNA of the company, what kind of customer feedback have you received over the years that has maybe led to a shift in thinking or lessons learned?
Well, I think a couple things right off the bat when we put it in the market, we found that some people like to drink their drinks really quickly. Some people like to nurse them. So people immediately wanted fidelity on temperature, which was great because we could deliver that. So we immediately added a toggle in the app that said hotter, less hot, and hot. Mm-hmm. And sure enough, the data started showing that that's what people wanted. That's interesting. I think we want to also be able to modify the amount of stretch on a cappuccino, things like that. The dryness of the cappuccino versus the wetness. So, you know, these are things that are important to a relatively smaller subset of the overall coffee market. But as a specialty coffee company, we've got to be able to deliver that and be able to give the customer control of that. And having the non-caffeinated drinks is important. So we do a great hot chocolate, and we have a wonderful chai, organic chai, and the ability to do iced as well as hot are all things that customers told us, you know, we just make the platform that much more interesting.
Each of which is a large problem in and of itself. It's impressive tackling all of that in one house, I guess, you know.
Well, yes, and we're the only ones in the world that will take three different cup sizes, allow you to fully customize your drink, put a lid on it, and have it ready for you as your personally packaged product when you come pick it up.
I think that was my favorite part of your promotional video, was watching those lids go on.
Oh, my goodness. You can't believe how long that took.
We actually had to have custom lids designed by a very large consumer product manufacturer. And they did that for us because they saw as this is the future, and no one had ever taken their lids and put it in a machine and, you know, locked on it, but they could see where we were going. And they said, well, maybe we'll learn from you. So here, a giant corporation came in and worked with us to go do that. But each of those little pieces of the puzzle that took a lot of iterations to get to, you know, a refinement of where we are now.
And ultimately, it's about efficiency. And we don't want you to have to go get the coffee and then take the lid off and go put stuff in it only to put the lid back on. I mean, so the whole thing was really focused on the customer experience and making sure that once you've designed it through the app, you're just going to get it and enjoy it.
Part of the experience is, what does it look like when you walk up to it? And by not having packets of sugars and creamers that are half spilled all over, you know, at Dell is one of our locations, it's always nice and clean around it. You know, there's not much to do because we haven't left all this stuff out. And anytime you go to a little, you know, walk up bar, there's always where you're going to do that extra work. It's always kind of a big maintenance thing. So it's kind of, how do I walk up to this crisp experience and have that as part of it? And that's why it's all integrated into the cup.
you know, through the industrial design process of the external facade of the coffee house, the Brigo Coffee House, what kind of design language or themes were you looking to achieve in terms of like consumer perception when they walk by one?
Yeah. Okay. So we were fortunate to be connected with a guy named Eve Behar years ago, who is a consumer products guy out of San Francisco that's, you know, obviously done beautiful work globally.
Yep.
So we sat down and spent a lot of time on this in terms of what our goal was as a company and what our goal was for the customer. And so the idea here is that it's the same design language in the app that you would then have as a physical experience when you approach the coffee house. We wanted it to have scale. We wanted it to have a peaked roof to make it a sense of destination, a sense of home. So we wanted to develop comfort very quickly, but we also wanted to do it in more of a subtle way than a really loud way. So the wood paneled finish is really meant to give it a high quality feel, one that's visible from distance and one that is pays homage to origin. So sort of the wood and earth colors. The customer band through the middle of it is meant to both be a high digital and a high physical experience. So the window looking into the action is we've really gotten some great feedback on. So from left to right, you can have a local ordering experience as you're watching the robot do its thing through the window. All of the pickup is done through dead center because we wanted that to be the ultimate culmination of the experience. And then to the right of the presenter is the pickup screen that also doubles as a full-blown marketing platform where we can drive, you know, a lot of nice messaging and excitement for the customer. And if you notice, the bottom of it is curved because we wanted it to have not only this amazing presence, but also this light feel. So it doesn't feel like it's just a kiosk sitting on the ground. We wanted to break you away from a vending moment and really give you a fantastic specialty coffee experience with a real focus on experience and just, you know, the ability to fall in love with it was our intention.
Yeah, it is certainly not the coffee machine you encounter on the interstate stop. That is for sure. Yeah.
Not yet. Stay tuned.
Yeah, we want to.
That'd be lovely.
Cool. Yeah, exactly. Again, it's connecting that middle band is connecting technology to the origin. You know, the wood and the contrast between the two is very deliberate, again, to connect to say, hey, we're worried about both of those things.
Well, the other thing we should say is let's connect back to a prior generation. Chaz's grandfather's name was Briggs with an S, and he was ran a machine tool company.
Yeah.
So maybe Chaz can tell that story.
Yeah, just real quick. While my father was fighting through World War II, through France and up through the Ardennes and all, my grandfather had a machine tool company up in upstate New York, and it was Charles Briggs, and he's my grandfather. I'm Charles, he's Charles. And we apparently were pretty tight, but he died when I was about 2.5. And so he had a plaque that went on every single machine. And I actually still have a number of those plaques, and I put one on every Brigo Coffee House once it's ready for prime time. And the name of the company is tied back to his. It actually turned out to be a graphic artist that said, hey, I'll change that S to an O, and we got Brigo, and I can go get Brigo.com. So, you know, at first it was, okay, that's pretty expeditious, but it pays homage to my grandfather.
Well, think about how lucky that is. It actually has the word go, because we're a mobile-based, you know, company. Yeah. And we wanted it to sound a little European, and it sort of happened, which is kind of nice.
We figured we're investing so much into this that it's going to have international appeal, and that allows us to do that. And so it's kind of nice. So it's a little factoid there, but there's a little plaque that literally is back from the 40s, the late 30s and the 40s, that is on every machine inside.
Yeah, I think that's a great story. And that was actually going to be my next question around the name, because when I look at the coffee house, I see Brigo, it feels like it's a perfect name for, you know, what you're looking at. You know, without that backstory, it still just feels like a great fit. So that's an awesome story.
It kind of makes
an awesome origin.
Yeah, I mean, this has been, I have twins that are 20 years old, and when I started this, and then Kevin joined me, it was a journey, right? And so I've kept them pretty tight. We all have within our families, and so it's for them to kind of see how hard it is to bring something to life like this. It's a good life lesson for them, but it also connects them to their great-grandfather, and it's kind of a, you know, it's kind of a nice feel. I'm really excited about where we are right now to be able to actually bring this out to the public and and let that really stick.
That's great. So what are your plans for expansion, and what can we expect next from Brigo?
Well, that's a great question. We, like I said, I think we're planning to have a big opening at South By and start getting more, frankly, global attention with how big South By has become. And then beyond South By, we have some large market partnerships that we're putting together to, you know, get to market as quickly as possible. So our goal this year is to do a couple handfuls of these coffee houses in Austin, and then to break out of Austin and start to move into some other major cities. So we'll be raising money again later this year. We're cranking right now to do South By, to manufacture and deploy these, and to drive, you know, great customer experience, not only here in Austin, but, you know, we'll start to expand in Texas, and then we're looking at the coasts, and then closing out the middle and going worldwide.
That's fantastic. For any of our listeners that have already bought their South by Southwest badges, do you have your location set yet?
Yes, we're going to be presenting on the trade show floor, and we're also going to be the coffee offering at South Bites, which is the food and the future of food exhibit for all of South by. So we're really excited to not only have a business-to-business opportunity, but a really great business-to-consumer and customer experience as well.
Fantastic. Is there anything else you guys would like to add?
Drink coffee. To the extent anybody's listening and they're in Austin, I would encourage you to go check us out at Mujo, and you can pair amazing coffee with an ice cream sandwich.
And that is the Mujo on the Drag. Is that correct?
Yes, that's right. Mujo on the Drag.
Located just west of the university campus.
That's exactly right.
Wonderful. Well, I think we can wrap this up before I spill coffee all over myself.
All right.
Gentlemen, thank you so much for your time. It was a pleasure to learn more about Brigo and your background and the work you're doing. It sounds like the sky is the limit. So wonderful to hear, and wish you guys the best of luck at South by Southwest and beyond.
Yeah, well, we're really grateful for the opportunity to chat with you, and thanks for your interest in Brigo. It's really
thank you very much.
It's always great to chat with fellow coffee geeks.
Yeah.
Yes.
All right. Thank you for your time.
Thanks so much.